We just like to read our reading together from Proverbs 3:21. There's three pages. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Don't plot harm against your neighbor. For those who live nearby trust you. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done you a harm. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. The Lord mocks at mockers, but is gracious to the humble. The wise inherit honour, but fools are put to shame. Thank you very much. Over to you, Barry. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading this evening is taken from Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And it was so, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshing wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen me? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Trust God will bless the reading of his word. When this, the first part of the chapter, reminded me of a time when we were in America, and we went to a place called Mesa Verde, and it was a very big plateau, quite fertile. And we were allowed to go to this place, and it was quite interesting, really, because there was a gate, and some guides were going to take us around. And the guide said, once you've gone through this gate, it's going to be locked, and you can't go back. Well, that seemed okay, except that we didn't really know where we were going. And we went down some steps and along the side of a cliff. And the cliff was sort of a 1,000-foot drop. And apparently the natives used to live in this cliff because they used to produce their produce up on the top. And then if bands of Indians or others came along and raided them, they'd all go down there. And it was quite a precarious journey along this path that they came. My cousin was with me, and he was somewhat larger than I, and there was quite a small hole that we had to get through at one stage. That was quite interesting. And then we had to walk a tree ladder. It was about 30 foot long, the poles. And we had to climb up this side, and there was a 1,000-foot dropping down there. And it was an experience that I shall never forget. But it reminded me of the passage here and how the Midianites were attacking the Israelites, and they had to hide in caves and everywhere else in order to get away from the Midianites. You know, just thought it was interesting that I've seen that in reality. And the locals there had footholds to climb straight up the side of the cliff. We were fortunate enough to be able to find some more steps to get out. But it was one of the most hairy journeys I've ever been on. And it was quite interesting. Fine now. Commencing at verse 10. This is just after Jesus met with Saul of Tarsus. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias, coming in and putting his hand upon him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, that as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were in Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and cometh hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Trust God will bless the reading of his word. I wonder if we could now have a time of prayer, really. Lord, we thank you for the prayers that have been spoken and those that have been unspoken at this time. Lord, we thank you that you long to hear our prayers. And Lord, we pray that you will answer them as you see fit. We again pray particularly for your people who are being persecuted throughout the world, for those who are suffering from famine, drought, lack of food, lack of water, lack of medicines. And Lord, we pray for them who have fear in their hearts because of the evil around them. Lord, we pray that you will grant them your peace. And we pray too for those that are persecuting them, that they, like Saul of Tarsus, might be confronted by yourself and their lives turned round, that they might come to a knowledge of yourself, regardless of the cost to them, bearing in mind the cost that it was for you, Lord. And we pray that you will just bless your people throughout the world as they worship you. May they rejoice in their hearts, even when many can't get together like we are able to. Lord, be with them and bless them. And use even the modern means of communication to further your kingdom. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. I got a question. And the question is, why me, Lord? And I want us to look at different folks in Scripture that, if you like, have asked that question or answered it in very different ways. And so I'd like just to wander through the Scriptures tonight and just see how different people reacted to God calling them to different work. It's lovely, really, to have Chris and Lindy with us because, you know, you've done that. You've been called to a certain work, and it's great. And, you know, we do pray for you in the work and seek that you will be used by God. And we know from what you say that you are being used, and in a fortnight's time, I think it is, you'll be able to share a bit more about it with us. So that'll be great. So I started it relatively near the beginning with Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, God calls him to leave home. I should be going through lots of scriptures, so you probably won't necessarily keep up with me, unless you're somebody like Joe and just tap it out there, and that's all right. But I just wanted us to look at the fact that Abraham was called by God to go, and he didn't know really where he was going, but he picked up everything and he went. You know, when you think about it, I mean, Christopher Columbus, when he was going across the Atlantic, didn't know where he was going. Didn't know where it would end or anything else. And in a sense, Abraham was like that. He didn't know where it was going to lead. All he knew was that God was calling him. And his reaction to that was that he and Sarah and Lot and all their belongings went on a journey. And then we read about the wanderings of Abraham. But Abraham was obedient to God. You know, even in times of difficulty, he didn't always do the right thing. You know, he wasn't perfect. Not like the Lord Jesus. He made mistakes. You know, he went down into Egypt and tried to put off his wife as his sister. And, you know, got into all sorts of trouble with that. But he was also called to take Isaac up to the mountain. And he took him up there and he was prepared to sacrifice him because God had called him to do that. God had provided a sacrifice, a lamb. And that was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So Abraham was obedient. Moses, different kettle of fish, really, in the sense that he went up to the burning bush. A miracle happened in that the bush didn't devour, the fire didn't devour the bush. And Moses was very keen on trying to say, "Not me, Lord. You know, I can't do it. I'm no good. I don't talk very well," and all the rest of it. And in the end, in Genesis 3, we read all about that, and we read about the fact that he made every sort of excuse going. You know, some people, when they're called by God to do something, can try and make every excuse going. And in the end, we find that God was angry with him because of it. And in Genesis 4:10-17, we read about the fact that God was angry with Moses, but Moses went and did what he asked. He got round it because he said, "Well, you know, Aaron is a good speaker. He can do the speaking," and all the rest of it. But Moses had to go to Pharaoh. I know it was a different Pharaoh from what there was earlier on, but he had to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And he had to go time after time after time. And it wasn't until the Passover, the dipping of the blood and putting it on the doorposts, that Pharaoh let the people go. And Moses led a moaning crowd of nearly 2 million people, or around 2 million people, through the desert for 40 years. And he had to go through an awful lot. Even at the beginning, when they escaped from Egypt, they got to the edge of the Red Sea, and the people moaned because they said, "Well, you've only brought us here so that we didn't have to die in Egypt, and you know, you can bury us here instead." And Moses said, "Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." And God overruled. And God overrules in so many good ways, doesn't he? He parted the Red Sea. All sorts of excuses have been made, but the reality is God parted the Red Sea and he held back the waters. But he didn't just do that. He let the Israelites go over on dry ground. And if you've been walking about lately, and I haven't been because I've not been able to, you know, it's been a bit muddy. And it's a lot harder walking about on muddy ground than it is on dry ground. And yet God allowed the Israelites to walk through on dry ground. You know, he doesn't just pull the water back, but he allows us the dry ground as well to walk through on. And all through that period in the wilderness, when Moses was leading his people, you know, God overruled time and time again, despite the moaning of the people. Then we get to Gideon, which we read about. You know, and it was a pretty bad time for God's people. You know, the Midians were vast numbers. And God asks Gideon, if you like, to overcome this massive army of the Midianites. And God doesn't do things by halves, does he? You know, what do we find? 32,000, is it? Prepared to go out with Gideon? I mean, Gideon didn't want to do it. He was hiding in the threshing floor, by the wine press, in the threshing floor, threshing out the things so that the Midianites didn't get the food. He was the least, you know, he kept on saying how little he was or how small he was and all the rest of it. But God used him. And he made all sorts of protests, and then he put the fleeces out to see whether that would work or not, and to confirm that God was with him. Sometimes we doubt the ability of the Lord to use us. And he needed that assurance that he was given. And then we get to the 32,000 men, and God said, no, that's too many. And so 22 went home, 22,000. And there were 10,000 left, and God said, no, that's too many. And we find that there were 300 left. And God wanted everybody to know, all the Israelites to know, that it was he that was doing it, not Gideon. You know, and victory was given to them. But again, Moses was reluctant, making all sorts of excuses. Gideon was making all sorts of excuses. Jonah, he was called to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He went in the opposite direction. I mean, you know, he didn't just shy away from it and stay there. He went the opposite way. But if God's got us and wants us to do a job, you aren't going to escape. You know, that's the fact of the matter. If God's got something in mind for each one of us, then he's going to see it through with us. And that's sort of encouraging, isn't it? That even though Jonah went the other way, God did all sorts of amazing things. You know, they had to chuck everything over off the boat because there was a storm. But it caused the other people on the boat to recognize who God was. And God provided a big fish, and he allowed Jonah to turn around in his own thinking and was prepared to go to do what God wanted him to. Sometimes God has to put us through all sorts of things in order that we actually do what he wants us to do. So there we are. We find in the book of Esther, you know, how God works with Mordecai and with Esther, and how we find that God used Esther for such a time as that. You know, the timing, God's timing was so good, wasn't it? I love some of these Bible stories, and they are true, but how God times things. And God's got a wonderful sense of humor in a way, because he does things, you know, perfectly. Timing is perfect, and it couldn't be better. Then we go over to the New Testament, to the folks that I read about. Ananias, you know, well, we think of Saul, and Saul was going in absolutely the wrong direction. He was persecuting God's people, just like many are today. But Saul was met by the Lord Jesus, and his life was turned round. But I wonder how many of us would have liked the task that Ananias was given. You know, some notorious individual that was seeking to capture and imprison Christians. And he put many in prison in Jerusalem. And he'd come to Damascus with the express purpose of taking as many Christian prisoners as he could. And God says to Ananias, I want you to go to a street called Straight, and there's a certain house, and there's a man in there called Saul, and he's praying. Well, that must have been startling for Ananias to start with, to realize that he was praying. And so we find that Ananias says, Lord, I'm a bit wary of this one. And he had every right to be wary of it. And God said to him, you go. He's a chosen vessel for me. And he's going to be used by me. And he's going to suffer a lot for my sake. But you go. And I love the fact that in Scripture it then says, when Ananias went there, he said, Brother Saul, straight away. He didn't mess about with it. You know, he didn't sort of hedge his bets on this one. You know, when we meet someone who is a brother in Christ, then we need to acknowledge them as such and rejoice in the fact. The fact is that you might not know somebody who's a Christian from perhaps the other side of the world, and yet you've got so much in common because we got the Lord Jesus. And, you know, it's just so encouraging, or I think it's encouraging, and right, when that happens, you can meet somebody that you didn't know. I remember another time when we were over in America. We've only been twice to the States, but another time we were by the Grand Canyon, and there was a chap there, and he had a verse of scripture on the back of his anorak, I think it was. I can't remember what it was, but I was able to go up to him and rejoice with him in the fact that we both love the Lord. You know, and sometimes it's so thrilling, isn't it, to meet people who you haven't got a clue about, really, other than the fact they know the Lord. And therefore, you've got so much in common. And it's encouraging like that. And so Ananias was there, and he went, and Saul was healed. And he was bold in proclamation of the gospel right from day one. You know, can you remember the time that you came to know the Lord and what effect it had on you? Because sometimes you have to hit the ground running. I remember when I came to know the Lord, I was chairman of the Young Congregationalists in Somerset. And, you know, I've told you that before probably. But the fact was that within hours of coming to know the Lord Jesus, I was having to pray at a service. And a very good friend of mine, after I prayed, said, what's happened to you? You know, the transformation had taken place immediately. I know some people it's gradual and all the rest of it, but for me it was there and, if you like, hit the ground running, and had to pray, and God used that. But also, the people around were a bit wary. You know, this chap Saul, was he really converted? Or was he just, if you like, putting on a face because he wanted to get in with the Christians so that he'd know who to deal with? And we find that some Christians were a little bit wary about someone who'd had such a sudden change. And we find Barnabas was, if you like, charged with the task of introducing Saul to the rest of the Christians and, if you like, being a surety for him. And that was good. And it showed that sometimes we got to be a little bit bold in encouraging others in the Christian faith. You know, it's easy sometimes to pick out people that you think ought to become Christians, if you like, and there's others that you're surprised at. And sometimes those that are you're surprised at find it tough getting in on Christian circles. I always remember reading in, there's a book called Chicken Soup for the Soul Bible, which I picked up from there when, what's his name that had lots of books?
Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan left it there. And I remember reading it, and in it there was a story about a crowded church in America, and suddenly this person came off the streets, and he came and there wasn't a seat for him to sit. So he sat down, if you like, in the corridor. And suddenly there was this old chap who was one of the elders coming along. He had his gold chain on and everything else, and he was sort of well respected in the church. And I remember the story says that he came along and he was walking up to this chap, and they thought he was going to give him a right telling off. And what he did was he sat down beside him. And like the book said, that was a better message than anything that the preacher said that day. They remembered that. And sometimes we've got to meet with people that we don't think might fit the normal category, you know? And so we find that Barnabas encouraged the church. And then, of course, we need to think about the Lord Jesus himself. In John 1, we read about the fact that he was in the beginning. And he was there, and even at that time, he knew what his commission was. And whilst he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he might have prayed to God the Father, you know, please take this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done, not mine. And he went to that cross. He'd been called to go to that. He was there from the beginning, deciding that that's what was going to happen in order that we might be redeemed. What a privilege. And he went to that cross for you and me. If he goes to the cross for you and me, then is anything too big that we can do for him? Why me, Lord? Trust that we might be used by the Lord, and that we might not be too hesitant about it. It may be that we'll protest a little bit that we aren't able to do it, but if God's got it in mind for us to do, then he will provide. And you found that to be true, haven't you, Chris? Yeah. You know, so that's just thoughts tonight. Why me, Lord? And each one of us will be used by him. You know, some of us have got reason to wonder more than others. But God uses everybody in their situation. And we need to be ready for that. We'll leave it there.